百坤的知音服务员玉林听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年9月9日，星期三。我们再次荣幸的邀请到了 Radha Charan Prabhu，为我们继续来讲解永恒的 Chaitanya 经，Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita。Hare Krishna。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda。
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jai Dvaita Chandra Jai Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
We are reading this morning from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 22 Process of Devotional Service
今天呢，我们继续来讲永恒的 Chaitanya 经，是 Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第22章。奉爱服务的程序。
Okay, we continue with the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Sanatan Goswami.
在这 Madhya Lila 的第22章中，我们继续来讲 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Sanatan Goswami 的对话。
We have been spending quite many lectures on this chapter, even though this chapter is actually quite short.
虽然这一章的篇幅并不长，但是我们已经用了好几周的时间来讲。
And this means that we had to cover very important points.And pay attention to many details of the teachings.
因为呢，在这里有非常多的极其重要的要点，而且还有很多的细节我们需要覆盖到，所以呢，就用了那么长的时间。
Actually, this chapter and the following one is pretty much like studying the nectar of devotion.
事实上这一章以及下面的这一章呢你学习起来的时候就好像是在学习奉爱的甘露一样
The Nectar of Devotion is a work from Srila Rupa Goswami
奉爱的甘露是由 Srila Rupa Goswami 专注的
And these teachings here are given to Sanatan Goswami, his brother
那么就是在这里呢是给 Rupa Goswami 的兄弟 Sanatan Goswami 的教导
Now these two brothers lived in Vrindavan together.
这两兄弟他们一起生活在 Vrindavan.
And they spend time discussing the teachings of Lord Chaitanya.
他们经常花时间在一起讨论祖 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的教导。
And not only they were discussing, but they were writing books on the teachings.
而且他们不仅去探讨 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的教导，而且呢，他们还基于这些教导写成了好多的书。
But they were practicing those teachings themselves.
他们自己呢，也一直不断的在践行这些教导。
So in following in the footsteps of these great masters, we can get actually the same result.
所以呢，当我们去追随这些伟大的这些导师的步伐的时候，我们也可以获得同样的成果。
Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan are not from this material world.
Sri Rupa 和 Sri Sanatan 他们两人并不是来自于这个物质世界的。
They are intimate, eternal associates of Radha and Krishna.
他们是 Radha Krishna 的永恒亲密的同友。
So they are not in this material world as conditioned souls who need to be liberated.
他们并不是在这个物质世界的 受条件限制的灵魂，并不是那些需要从这个物质世界解脱的灵魂。
Externally, they had material circumstances.
从外在而言，他们似乎有许多物质的境况。
But internally, they were always on the highest platform of Krishna consciousness.
但是从内在而言，他们始终是在 Krishna 知觉的巅峰。
And therefore, their meeting with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just to exemplify how conditioned souls can go from the lowest to the highest level.
所以呢，他们和 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 之间的这种会面实际上是为我们树立了一个榜样，让我们看到了一个受条件限制的灵魂是怎么样可以从一个最低点一直上升，不断地达到一个最高点。
And at a certain point in time in their lives, they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
他们在人生中的某一个时刻遇到了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
They met him for the first time when he visited their village.
当 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 第一次来到他们所在的村庄的时候，他们见面了。
And that's where they came forward to give their lives to him.
那个时候他们就来到了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的面前，要把自己全部的生命献给他。
And after that very important first step, then each of them received specific instructions on the science of bhakti.
那么在那之后呢，他们两个人都不约而同地获得了有关 bhakti 奉爱的这门科学的训示。
And after receiving those teachings on the science of bhakti, they will become acharyas in a sense that they will practice those teachings and they will grow within those teachings.
那么在获得了这些有关 bhakti 奉爱的科学之后，他们就成了acharya。那么这个 acharya 的意义呢，就是说他们是身体力行的，他们在这个 bhakti 奉爱的这个科学当中，他们去践行，并且在其中成长。
So what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching Sanatan Goswami, Sanatan Goswami already knows.
所以说呢，在这里其实 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 给 Sanatan Goswami 所有的教导。Sanatan Goswami 他已经都有所熟知了。
But he is playing the role of a very surrendered and enthusiastic disciple.
但是他现在却扮演了一个充满着热情的，像 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 全然皈依的一个门徒的形象。
There has to be some level of eagerness on the part of a disciple.To receive transcendental knowledge.
那为了要获得超然的这个知识，在做门徒而言的话，他一定要有一定的这种渴望和热情。
There is no question of being passive.
那么一种消极的这种状态呢，是不可能的。
Or being neutral.
或者是呢，好像非常。无动于衷的那个样子，非常中立的那个样子也不行。
Or being indifferent.
Yeah, 或者是无动于心的那个样子。
So, as we mentioned many times before, there is always one thing that attracts someone to Krishna consciousness.
就像我们之前所说的一样，就是总是有某一种东西把某一个人吸引到了 Krishna 知觉当中。
It can be meeting a devotee.
可能是遇到一个奉献者。
It can be hearing something from the philosophy.
也可以是聆听到了一些哲学要点。
It can be the chanting.
或者是唱诵。
It can be seeing a picture of Krishna.
或者是看到了一张 Krishna 的照片。
Or taking prasadam.
或者是荣耀了 prasadam。
Any of these things can attract one to Krishna consciousness.
那所有这些东西都有可能是把一个人吸引到了 Krishna 知觉中。
And this marks the beginning of spiritual life.
那这个呢，就给一个人的灵性道路的起步留下了深刻的烙印。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu up until now has given different indications to Sanatana Goswami how a devotee can grow in Bhakti Yoga.
那么一直谈到目前为止，其他两马哈佛布都在给索纳塔格桑，就是一个奉献者，他是怎么一步一步的往
？At this time, there is one devotee who goes around walking in the dark because it's still dark here, and he has a microphone and a speaker.And he chants the Maha Mantra to wake everyone up.
就是每天早上呢，在我们这里，也就是这个时间，现在还是漆黑一团。然后呢，就有这样的一个奉献者，他就是背着那个音箱，拿着话筒，他就一边的在唱诵，然后一边就在这个村子到处的走，把大家唤醒。
Maybe you can't hear it, but for us, it's very loud.
对你们来说可能听太清楚，但是对我们来说是声音是非常的大。
And he does this day after day after day. It doesn't matter whether it's raining or sunshine.
而且他就是这样，日复一日，年复一年的这样做，不管是这是晴天还是说是下雨，他都会。
So not only is very attached to the chanting of the holy name, but he's also very attached to sharing it with everyone.
所以呢，他不仅仅是非常的依附于圣名的唱诵，而且呢，他还总是这样热情洋溢的和所有的人分享。
So this is, as you can, as we're mentioning here, this man chanting Hare Krishna, there is something that will attract each of us to Krishna consciousness.
就好像呢，这一位奉献者在这里唱诵的一样，总之是。在 Krishna 知觉当中，总有某一种东西，也许就是这样的唱诵，把大家吸引到了 Krishna 知觉里。
And when we become attracted to one aspect of Krishna consciousness, we have to hold on to that attraction like we hold on to our own life.
那当我们被 Krishna 知觉中的某一方面所深深吸引的时候，我们一定要紧紧地抓住不放，就好像是紧紧地抓住着我们的生命一样。
As the Bhagavad Gita explained that it is very rare for a living entity to reach the human form of life.
就像博迦梵歌里面所说的一样，对于一个生物体而言，要获得人体的这个生命，是非常的罕见的。
And among all those who reach the human form of life, it is very rare when one is actually interested in spiritual life.
那在所有的获得了人形生命的人之中，只有极少数的人才会对灵性的生活发生兴趣。
And out of those who are interested in spiritual life, it's very rare to see someone who turns their faces towards Krishna.
而在这些极少数的对灵性生命感兴趣的人当中，又有更罕见的人就是会转向 Krishna。
Krishna says himself, Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. Mahatma means a great soul. Sudurlabha, very rare.
那就是这个Krishna 他亲自说了，这样的 Mahatma, 这样的伟大的灵魂是极其罕见的。
So, even if there are obstacles, even if there is discouragement, even if there is weakness, we should hold on to what we like the most in Krishna consciousness.
所以，即便是障碍重重，即便是我们也有非常这个低落或者是非常虚弱的时候，我们都要始终的。去坚持，紧紧地抓住 Krishna 知觉。
So one time, the devotees, especially in India, because in India the culture of Krishna consciousness is very prominent.
那么在印度呢，这样的一种灵性的文化是的氛围是非常的浓厚的。
And wherever you go, the culture will show you that you can do this or you can do that.Or you have to do this, but you don't have to do that.
那么就是这样的一种灵性文化的这样的一种氛围，它本身就告诉你了哪些你是可以做的，哪些你不能做，哪些呢你应当去做，哪些你不得不做，这样。
So in the early days of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada was teaching his disciples in India what they should follow.
那么在这个早期的时候呢，就是在印度，释迦帕帕就教给他的门徒哪些是他们应当去做的。
And one devotee says, Srila Prabhupada, there are so many rules to follow.
那有一个奉献者就对释迦帕帕他说，有这么多的这个规则要去，这么多规矩要去遵行。
And Prabhupada replied, if I give you the whole list of what you should not do and what you should do, you would faint.
那释迦帕帕他说呢，如果我把所有的这些应该做的和你绝对不能做的都罗列给你的话，你恐怕会吓得晕倒的。
Why so many rules?
那为什么在这里有这么多的规则呢？
Why are there things, so many things that we should not do and so many things that we should do?
那为什么有这么多我们不应该做的，又有这么多我们应当去做的事情呢？
Because this is showing the extent of the conditioning of the material body.
其实呢这些规则恰恰就是说明了身处在一个物质的躯体当中的人所得到的种种的局限。
The condition of the living entity, especially in the human form, is so deep that it requires so many adjustments.
那么在这个生物体的这个躯体的束缚当中，尤其是在人体的这个生命当中受到的这种覆盖和束缚是非常深的，所以说呢一定要有一些调整。
And sometimes people may think, you know, I have no space to move, I have no space to think, I have no space to feel about anything.
有的人他们会觉得这个规则实在是太多了，我都觉得我都动不了身了，然后我也没有空间去思考，没有空间去感受了。
People want to feel free to express whatever they like, to do whatever they want.
因为人们呢，他们总是有一种随心所欲的倾向，想这个自由的去思考，自由的去行事。
And this desire to feel free is actually coming from the soul.
其实这样的一种渴望自由的倾向呢，这种愿望是来自于灵魂深处的。
But Prabhupada many times mentioned, either in lectures to devotees or in public lectures, that there is no such a thing as freedom.
但是在释迦帕帕的讲座当中，就是无论是他在跟奉献者的讲座，还是在公众场合的一个演讲当中，他经常会提到一个要点，就是说实际上是没有真正的自由可言的。
As long as the living entity is within the material world, there will never be any freedom.
只要是生物体还沦落在这个物质世界里的话，就没有自由可言。
Freedom comes when one achieves spiritual liberation.
只有当一个人达到了灵性的自由的时候，灵性的解脱的时候，才有真正的自由。
So to reach that level, one must make so many different adjustments.
那要达到这样的一种灵性的自由的话，在那之前，一个人必须要做很多的调整。
Now the good thing is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being very merciful.
那我们有一个非常有利的地方，就是 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 是非常的仁慈。
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being very aware of the conditioning of the living entities.
而且 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他是深知受条件限制的灵魂的局限。
He reduced all these long list of rules and regulations to just a few.
所以呢就是这么多的这个规范原则呢就被他浓缩到了很少的几条。
And not only just a few, but just a handful.
而且不仅是很少，而且是，就是非常非常的少。
Not just a handful, but even slightly followed will bring one amazing results.
不仅是这些规范原则呢，就变得就这么少数的几条，而且是不仅如此，你只要稍稍的去遵循这些少数的规范原则去做的话，立刻就会就是立竿见影，就会有结果。
Okay, we've already been through so many of these rules and regulations.
那么之前我们已经讲到了一些规范原则了。
And some, actually, none of them can be circumvented. None of them can be avoided.
那前面的这些规范原则我们讲到的都是你不能绕过去的，就是你不可避免必须要去做的。
Especially the first three.
特别是最前面的三条。
One must approach a spiritual master.
一个就是说一个人必须要接近一位灵性导师。
One must inquire from such a spiritual master.
必须向一个灵性导师去寻引来。
And one must take initiation from such a spiritual master.
必须从这个灵性导师那里去获得启迪。
This is a must.
这个是必须做的事情。
For anyone who is interested to attain perfection on the path of bhakti yoga,and attain pure love for Radha and Krishna, taking shelter of a spiritual master is compulsory.
就是对任何一个在 Bhakti Yoga 奉爱瑜伽之途上想要达到完美的，想要获得对 Radha 和 Krishna 的纯粹的爱的人而言呢，去托庇和接受灵性导师的这个启迪都是必须的。
Now that we've been through all these different rules and regulations until now, like following Ekadashi, watering the tulsi plant.
那我们前面已经到现在都讲了好多的这些规范，就是比如说，必须要去遵循 Ekadashi, 艾卡达西日的戒食，然后包括给 tulsi 浇水，图拉石树浇水什么的。
Avoiding association with materialistic minded people.
那避免和那些物欲熏心的人交往。
There are so many rules that we've been listing.
就是前面呢，已经有一些规范原则，我们都已经罗列过了。
But now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is going to give five.
现在呢 ，Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢要讲到五项。
That really are the key to perfection.
这个五项是达到完美的关键之关键。
Sadhu, Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravana.Maturavash Shri Murtira Shradaya Sevana. One should associate with devotees.
第一条就是一个人应当和奉献者联谊。
One should chant the holy name of Krishna.
应当去唱诵 Krishna 的圣名。
One should hear Srimad Bhagavatam.
应当去聆听圣典薄伽瓦坛。
One should reside in the holy dham.
应当居住在圣地。
One should worship the deities.
应当要崇拜神像。
So these are five most important items of practice of Bhakti Yoga.
这个是奉爱瑜伽的修持当中非常重要的五项。
So these things we actually already do every day.
那这些呢，其实是我们每天已经在做的了。
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, even a slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢说到呢，就是这对于这针对这五项，哪怕是些许的践行，也可以可以唤醒一个人的 Krishna 直觉，可以达到完美。
Now we have to be careful here with that statement because it doesn't mean, oh, I don't have to make any.Effort just a little bit is good enough.
但是看了这句话，你千万不要误解啊，以为就是说，我不需要费很大的力气，我不用特别的努力，只要这么一点点就够了。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentions we have to have love and faith when we apply ourselves to these five items of devotional service.
那 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说呢，当我们去践行这五项奉献服务的时候，必须要怀着全然的爱和信心。
We cannot do these things whimsically or half-hearted.
我们不能这么心不在焉或者随心所欲的去做，想到哪就做到哪，这是不行的。
So, Association of devotees means to do it with a deep sense of wanting to discover what it means to have relationship with devotees.
那与奉献者联谊呢，就意味着你是非常真诚的要去探索和奉献者在一起的这样的一个真正的深意。
To hear from the devotees, to serve the devotees.
也就是说呢，你会非常真心实意的去聆听奉献者的讲话，然后在联谊当中去服务于他们。
To inquire from the devotees.
向他们去询问自己心中的困惑。
To express affection for the devotees.
对奉献者表达自己的爱心。
And to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam in their association.
而且呢，在与和他们在与他们在一起联谊的时候，去聆听圣典波迦瓦坛。
Now, some devotees will say, "Well, I have no opportunity to be with the devotees."
那有些奉献者可能会说了，我没有机会跟奉献者在一起。
And the association of the devotees, in other words, sadhu sangha, is promoted by the acharyas as is the key to spiritual progress.
那么这个萨都桑噶，也就是说，与奉献者的联谊，是这些就是圣人们他们所特意的去推荐给我们的，因为与奉献者的联谊可以帮助我们在灵性上得到长足的进步。
And of course, when we talk about sadhu sangha association with devotees, we expect to get the best of association.
那就是当然，当我们说到萨都桑噶跟奉献者联谊的时候，我们在说的，就是说能够最大程度的去获得联谊和奉献者联谊给我们带来的益处。
But how is it possible when we are isolated?
但是当我们没有奉献者在身边，自己独自生活的，那这个时候该怎么办呢？
Well, the answer is that.When we reach Srila Prabhupada's books, we do get devotee association.
实际上是当我们在阅读 Srila Prabhupada 的书的时候，我们就是获得了奉献者的联谊。
These devotees are very much alive in the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the pages of the Bhagavad Gita, or the pages of the Nectar of Devotion.
那这些奉献者，像 Srila Prabhupada 这样的奉献者，其实就是活在圣典薄伽瓦坛，还有薄伽梵歌，还有风爱的甘露这些书籍的字里行间。
And not only that, but this is the best of association.
实际上呢，这是阅读这些经典就是最好的联谊。
Imagine if there was no such a thing as the internet. How would people make progress?
你想象一下，假如说没有互联网的话，那么人们怎么样得到进步呢？
I mean, hundreds of years ago, when people wanted to have a book, they had to copy it by hand.
那就是几百年前，那个时候人们想要看一本书的时候，不得不先要是手抄。
There were no books.
因为那个时候没有书，没有印刷。
Like, you know, the people didn't have access to the Srimad Bhagavatam unless they actually wrote it by hand.
就是说呢，如果说你不去自己去主动的去抄写这些经典的话，你根本就得不到一本圣典薄伽瓦坛这样的书。
During the time of Lord Chaitanya, devotees had no books in their homes.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的那个年代，奉献者的家里是没有书的。
But what did they have? They had the holy name.
那他们那个时候有什么呢？他们有圣名。
So we have to understand the meaning of these five different angas or different limbs of pure bhakti is that one of them can actually bring perfection.
那么在这里所说到的五项奉献服务，就是奉献服务里面的非常重要的五支这五个 anga 那所以说呢，这个它的含义是很深的，就是无论你去履行其中的哪一条，都可以帮助你达到完美。
When we open Srila Prabhupada's books, we get the association.
当我们去翻开 Srila Prabhupada 的书籍的时候，我们就是得到了他的联谊。
Now when we get to meet with the devotees, then we get complete association.
那当我们就是真的有机会见到奉献者的时候，那么我们就可以说得到了奉献者的完整的联姻。
And chanting the holy name is the best of association because we associate directly with Krishna in the form of his name.
那还有呢，念诵唱诵 Krishna 的这个圣名，也是就是直接的，因为我们 Krishna 他和这个圣名是没有区别的，所以呢，这个也就是说直接的一种联姻。
So chanting means either we chant on our beads.
在这里所说到的唱诵呢有两种形式，一种就是手持念珠的念诵。
Or we chant with a few devotees.
或者和几位奉献者在一起唱诵。
Or we chant with many devotees.
或者和很多的奉献者在一起热烈的唱诵。
Like we have every year here in Mayapur, the Kirtan Mela.
比如说在 Mayapur 的每一年都有一场几天的活动叫做 Kirtan Mela.
And for one week, 500 devotees sit in the temple room all day and chant Hare Krishna together.
就是在这样的 Kirtan Mela, 就是唱诵圣名节当中呢，大概有500多位奉献者每天都会坐在这个庙里面从早到晚一起的来唱诵圣名。
And one thing that is not done in China, but all over the world, is the street chanting.
那么还有一个就是说街头的唱诵，这个是我们在中国可能做不了的，但是在世界的其他的地方，大家都有。
Every day, devotees go out onto the streets of the main cities all over the world and chant. This is how people actually get to know us, by the street chanting.
就是这样的一种街头巷尾的这个唱诵呢，就是奉献者每一天他们都会出门，然后到这个城市的主要的这个街道上去唱诵。其实就是通过这样的唱诵，人们就了解了奉献者，了解到接触到了这个 Krishna 之觉。
Like we used to have during the Ratha Yatra in Hong Kong, at least 150 devotees from mainland China used to come.
比如说以前我们在这个香港的这个 Ratha Yatra, 就是弹车节的时候，至少大陆也会去到那里有150个奉献者，然后一起在这个街上去唱诵。
And everybody would be taught how to wear a sari, how to wear a dhoti, how to put gopi dots, how to look beautiful.
那么在出发之前呢，每一个奉献者都会学习怎么样很好的穿上这个纱丽啊，还有 dhoti 啊，在脸上画上那些 gopi dots 然后怎么样就是把自己打扮得非常的美丽。
And everybody would get onto the streets of Hong Kong and chant Hare Krishna.
然后大家呢都会上走上这个香港的这个街道，然后呢，在这个行进当中一起去唱诵 Hare Krishna.
And this was on Christmas Eve, which means there were no less than 500,000 people on the street.
这个呢正好就是在圣诞夜，所以说街上到处都是人头攒动的，大概也得有个500,000人。
So even the police were always very eager to protect us in the crowd.
而且呢，就是这些警察，他们也是非常的热情的，在这个人群当中保护我们，维持秩序。
So whoever participates in this street chanting gets eternal benefit.
所以所有的这些参加这个街头唱诵的这些奉献者们都获得了永恒的利益。
Now, as far as worshipping the deity, which is mentioned as one of the five important parts of bhakti yoga.
那我们现在再来讲一下崇拜神像，这个也是这五项 bhakti yoga 奉爱瑜伽的最重要的奉献服务当中的一种。
This is not always easy, but anybody can have a little corner of their homes and put a few pictures of Krishna.And the spiritual master, and offer some incense, some flowers, some water, and offer our food.
那么虽然呢，崇拜神像并不是非常容易做到的，但是我想每一个人都可以在家里面布置出这么一个角落来，可以放上一些神像的照片，灵性导师的照片，然后每天呢可以去供奉一些水，一些。水果一些鲜花供奉一些香。
So when we have that, even in our own home, we are in the Holy Dham.
所以说，如果我们能够做到这起码的这些简单的这个神像崇拜的话，那我们也就是身在圣地了。
So it's actually not difficult at all to recreate the atmosphere of the spiritual world in our own little space.
所以说呢，在我们这个狭小的空间里面去创造，去再现这个灵性世界和灵性世界的这个氛围，其实是不难的。
Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Durur Ad Bhuta Viryasmin Shraddha Durestu Panchake Yatra Svalpopi Sambhava Yaddiyam Bhava Janmane. The power of these five principles is very wonderful and difficult to understand. Even without faith in them, a person who is offenseless can awaken his dormant love of Krishna simply by being a little connected with them.
那这句话呢，就是说这五个原则的力量美妙无比，难以测度，就是难以理解。即便是对他们没有足够的这个信心，一个内心中没有丝毫冒犯的污染的人，也可以通过哪怕是做到些许，做到少许，也唤醒心中沉睡的对 Krishna 的爱。
So it really, I mean, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really makes it easy because he knows the heart of the conditioned soul.
因为 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他是知道，受条件限制的灵魂的所思所想的，所以他真的是把这些原则，把它就是变得非常的。容易做到，特别容易这个触手可及的。
And these five items of bhakti yoga go far, far beyond the work done by any philosophical, any person who is looking for knowledge or any person who practices yoga to the highest level.
就是那么这五项呢，实际上它所产生的这个效应要远远的超越于那些想要去寻找灵性的知识的，去探寻灵性的真理的，或者是去修习这个瑜伽的人所达到的最高境界。
So this is actually, these are the keys to enter the heart of Krishna.
那么这五项呢，就是能够走进 Krishna 的内心的一个关键。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, one, when one is firmly fixed in devotional service, whether he executes one or many processes of devotional service, the waves of love of Godhead will awaken.
那在这里说到呢，就是当一个人坚处于奉献服务之中的时候，无论他是去执行奉爱服务中的一项，还是说许多的程序，这种对至尊主的爱的浪潮也都会唤醒被唤醒。
So now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will give an example of a great devotee that we hear about in the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那齐坦尼亚马哈帕布呢，他就现在要举一个我们所看到的圣典博加瓦坛的一个伟大奉献者的实例。
First of all, we hear in the story of Prahlad.
首先呢，我们就听到过这个 Prahlad Maharaj 的故事。
Prahlad was only 5 years old.
Prahlad 当时只有五岁。
But he was a pure devotee from birth.
但是呢，他出生的时候就是一个非常纯粹的奉献者了。
And he had a very materialistic, demoniac father.
但是呢，他的父亲却是一个物欲熏心的大恶魔。
So his father wanted him to become also a big materialistic person.
他的父亲呢，也希望他成为一个非常世俗的人。
So he sent him to school to learn materialistic things, but Prahlad was not interested.
所以他就把这个 Prahlad 他的儿子呢，就送到一个去学习世俗物质的知识的这么一个学校里面，但是这个孩子一点兴趣都没有。
So when his father asked him, what did you learn at school today?
所以呢，他放学的时候，当他父亲问他说，你今天在学校里面学到了什么的时候？
Prahlad replied, hearing, chanting, remembering, worshipping.
Prahlad Maharaji 他就回答说，那我学到的是聆听、唱诵、意念、崇拜。
And he explained to him the 9 processes of devotional service.
他就跟他的父亲解释了这九项奉献服务。
So his father got very, very upset with him.
他的父亲呢，特别的生气。
But Prahlad was very fixed in pure devotion to Krishna.
但是 Prahlad 呢，他是非常坚定的处在对 Krishna 的奉爱之中。
So these 9 processes of devotional service were established by Prahlad for any devotee to attain perfection.
所以呢，是 Prahlad Maharaj 他这个确立了这九项奉献服务的。这九项奉献服务可以让任何一个奉献者都达到灵性的完美。
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that some devotees only follow 1 or 2 or 3.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢，他就是说到，就是有一些奉献者，他只是遵循这九项奉献服务中的一条，或者是两条，或者是三条。
But he gives the example of one devotee, his name is Ambarish Maharaj, who attained perfection by following all of them.
但是他在这里尤其的提到了一位奉献者，他的名字叫 Ambarish Maharaj, 他是九项奉献服务全部做到的一位奉献者。
Otherwise, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the example of different devotees who attained perfection by following just one.
那除了他之外呢，其他念马哈佛布他又举了很多不同的奉献者，他们呢就是在某一项上面做的是特别的突出，或者只执行其中的这么一项的。
So he says, Parikshit Maharaj attained perfection by hearing about Krishna.
那么他首先说到了这个 Parikshit Maharaj, 他是通过聆听 Krishna 而达到完美的。
Shukadev Goswami attained perfection by speaking about Krishna.
Shukadev Goswami 呢是通过去讲述圣典波迦瓦堂而达到完美。
Prahlad Maharaj attained perfection by remembering Krishna.
Prahlad Maharaj 通过铭记主与铭记至尊主而达到完美。
The Goddess of Fortune attained perfection by massaging the legs of the Lord.
那这个幸运女神呢，是通过给主的莲花足按摩而达到完美。
Prithu Maharaj attained perfection by worshipping the deity of Krishna.
那 Prithu Maharaj 是通过去崇拜主的神像而达到完美。
Akrura attained perfection by offering prayers to Krishna.
那 Akrura 呢，是通过向主祈祷而达到完美。
Anuman attain perfection by serving Lord Ram.
Hanuman 呢，他是通过去服务主 Ram 而达到完美。
Arjuna attain perfection just by being Krishna's friend.
那 Arjuna 是通过做这个 Krishna 的朋友而达到完美。
And Bali Maharaj attain perfection by dedicating everything to Krishna.
那 Bali Maharaj 是把一切都献给了主，从而达到完美。
So, now he is going to give the example of how devotees attain perfection by using everything they have.
所以说他就是在这里讲到了这些奉献者们怎么样把自己所有的一切去献给至尊主而达到完美。
In other words, their minds,
就是他们的心意。
Their words,
他们的言语。
Their hands,
他们的双手。
Their ears,
还有他们的聆听听觉。
Their eyes,
他们的眼睛。
Their body,
身体。
Their nostrils,
包括鼻孔。
Their tongue,
还有舌头。
Their legs,
他们的双腿。
Their head,
他们的头。
And their desires,
还有他们的愿望。
And the best example of that is Ambarish Maharaj.
就是把上面所说的所有的一切献给至尊主的这样的一个奉献者可以达到完美。那在这里呢，最经典的这个例子就是 Ambarish Maharaj.
So we have to understand that at the stage at which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching Sanatana Goswami, This is already reaching the high level of Krishna consciousness.
所以呢，其实我们从这个吉檀尼亚马哈巴布给桑达坦和苏阿米所讲述的这个阶段来看，他已经讲到了这个 Krishna 知觉的一个最高的境界了。
In other words, we need to know what is the goal.
换句话说就是我们得知道我们的目标是什么。
And we need to know what will happen to us once we begin to blossom in pure bhakti.
而且我们也要知道当我们在纯粹的 bhakti 纯粹的奉爱当中绽放的时候是一种什么样的一种情景。
And this is what is most beautiful about the process of Krishna consciousness is you know at every step what is ahead of you.
所以呢在 Krishna 知觉的这个程序的美妙之处就是说你不论你在什么地方你都会提前知道接下来将要发生的是什么
？Both the challenges and the reward.
就是不管是接下来可能会有的一些挑战，还是说所给你的这个努力所带来的这个回报呢？都是你可以提前预知的。
And you will not find this in any other process of yoga or process of meditation.
在其他的这些瑜伽的途径当中或者是那些冥想的法门当中是没有的。
So, now we're going to go through the example of Ambarish Maharaj and how he used his entire body, externally and internally.
那我们现在呢就举一下 Ambarish Maharaj 这个经典的例子。他是怎么样把他的一切无论是内在的和外在的都献给至尊主。
The story of Ambarish Maharaj is nicely narrated in the ninth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
那有关于这个 Ambarish Maharaj 的这个故事，他的这个逍遥时光是在《圣典薄伽瓦坛》的第九篇里面有非常优美的描述。
So the mind, Ambarish Maharaj always engages mind at the lotus feet of Krishna.
在首先是这个心意，就是 Ambarish Maharaj 的这个心意啊，始终都是在至尊主的莲花足下。
It means that in the process of bhakti yoga, he did not think of anything else but Krishna.
换句话说，就是在奉爱瑜伽 bhakti yoga 的这个道路上面呢，他是心无旁骛的，他的心里只有 Krishna， 只有至尊主。
Words.Ambarish Maharaj had to speak. Whenever he spoke, he only used words to describe the spiritual world and Krishna.
那就是接下来就是说他的言语，就是 Ambarish Maharaj 无论他说什么，只要他开口的话，他就是在描述着灵性世界和 Krishna.
Now let's not forget, Ambarish Maharaj was a great, powerful king.
Ambarish Maharaj 呢，他是一位伟大的君王，这个我们不要忘记了。
So very powerful, very prominent, very exalted.
所以呢，他是一位非常崇高的，然后呢，他也是这个地位非常的崇高，也是非常的有权力的一个国王。
How did Ambarish Maharaj use his hands? By washing the temple of Krishna.
那他是怎么样去运用他的双手去服务的呢？就是他一总是去这个打扫清洗主的这个庙宇。
Imagine a king goes into a temple, gets on his knees, and starts scrubbing the floor.
你想想，这么一个位高权重的这样的一个国王，他经常的亲自的到庙里面去，亲手的去擦洗、去打扫、冲洗这个庙宇。
He uses his ears not to hear material things.Not to hear politics or gossips, he used his ears to hear topics about Krishna.
他用他的这个耳朵不是去听那些世俗的话题或者是那些政治八卦什么的，而是用他的耳朵完全的用来去聆听有关至尊主的主题。
He used his eyes to look at the form of Krishna.
他怎么用他的眼睛呢？他总是用他的眼睛，去看至尊主的形体，就是神像。
He used his body to embrace the Vaishnavas and touch their lotus feet.
他用他的 这个身体呢，他去拥抱 Vaishnava 奉献者们，并且去触碰他们的莲花足。
He used his nostrils to smell the aroma of the tulsi leaves offered to Krishna.
他呢用他的这个鼻孔，用他的鼻子去嗅闻供奉给 Krishna 莲花足的图拉什叶的芬芳。
He used his tongue in tasting Krishna prasadam.
他用他的舌头去品尝供奉给 Krishna 的食物。
He used his legs to go on pilgrimage to the holy places of Krishna's pastime.
他用他的双腿、双脚行走在 Krishna 上演他逍遥时光的圣地。
He used his head to bow down to Krishna.
他把头低下向 Krishna 顶拜。
And he used his desires to serve Krishna.
然后他用全身心的这种愿望，用他的全部的愿望来服务主 Krishna。
So these are actually symptoms of pure bhakti.
这一些都是纯粹的 bhakti， 纯粹的奉爱的一些征象。
So, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if a person gives up all material desires and completely engages in transcendental loving and service to Krishna, as enjoined in revealed scriptures, he is never indebted to the demigods, the sages, or the forefathers.
然后呢 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 说呢，一个摒弃了一切的物质欲望，完全的去从事其实经典所教导的对 Krishna 的超然的奉爱服务的人，是不会对半神人、圣人或者祖先有任何的亏欠。
Because in many traditions, people feel indebted in so many ways.
因为在很多的这个传统当中呢，人们会觉得自己有各种各样的亏欠。
And we feel indebted to the teachers. We feel indebted to the parents.
我们觉得呢，我们对我们的老师、师长，对我们的父母有所亏欠。
We feel indebted to our friends.
觉得也很亏欠自己的朋友。
We feel indebted to our forefathers.
还有我们的这个祖先、老祖宗。
Isn't it? People feel indebted in so many. They feel indebted to their country.
就人们他们经常有这样的一种。内心当中感觉非常亏欠的这种感觉，包括亏欠你的国家。
This is like watering the branches and the leaf of a tree.
但是呢，这个就好像是给一棵树的枝叶浇水一样。
So in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned Devarshi Bhutapta Niram Pritinam Nakinkaro Nayam Rini Charajan Sarvatmana Ya Sharanam Sharanyam Gato Mukundam Puraritya Kartam.One who has given up all material duties and taken full shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda, who is the giver of liberation, is not indebted to the demigods, the great sages, ordinary living beings, relatives, friends, mankind, or even forefathers who have passed away.
在这里就是说到了一个完全的放弃了物质世俗责任的人，一个完全脱避了解脱的赐予者 Mukunda 的莲花族的人，是不亏欠于半神人、伟大的圣人、普通的生物体，就是亲人、朋友、人类，甚至是已经离开的祖先的。
So although the pure devotee does not follow all the regulative principles of varnashrams, he worships the lotus feet of Krishna. Therefore, he naturally has no tendency to commit sin.
在这里说到呢，虽然是纯粹的奉献者，并没有遵循 varnashram 四社会阶层四灵性境界中所有的规范原则，但是他崇拜于 Krishna 的莲花族，因此自然而然的就没有任何的罪恶的倾向。
In other words, whether we are situated in a social circumstances or we are in spiritual circumstances, all these different aspects of Bhakti Yoga will protect the devotee from making mistakes.
所以换句话说，就是无论你是处在一个社会的一个环境当中，还是在一个灵性的一个环境当中，去遵循 Bhakti Yoga 通达瑜伽的这些方方面面，都可以帮助一个人，保护一个人，免除他的错误，免除他的犯错。
However, Lord Chaitanya says, if a devotee accidentally becomes involved in sinful activity, Krishna purifies him. He does not have to undergo the regulative forms of atonement.
接下来 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 呢又说，即便是这个奉献者在无意当中做了一些罪恶的活动， Krishna 也会净化他。他就不需要再去经历那些苦行忏悔这样的一些赎罪的程序。
So, this means that when you are engaged in the process of devotional service, if you make a mistake, if somehow or other you deviate, if you are not offensive, then Krishna will rectify you instantly.
换句话说就是你再去从事奉爱服务的这个这个过程当中，可能有时候会有所偏离，或者是说犯了一些这个错误，做下了一些不恰当的一些事情，甚至是罪恶。但是只要是你内心当中是没有这种有意冒犯的这种心态，不是这种冒犯的心态的话， Krishna 就会亲自的来纠正你。
And how does he does that? Because Krishna is seated within the heart.And he has the power to remove any obstacles from the heart.
Krishna 是怎么做到的呢？因为 Krishna 是在每个人的心中，所以他自然有这个力量，能够去去除掉一个人内心中所有的障碍。
So, in other words, what all this means is when we follow in the footsteps of the Acharyas, the great master of Bhakti Yoga, and we follow this simple process of Bhakti Yoga.We are completely protected from anything that could happen.
所以说呢，就是当我们去追随这些 Bhakti 奉爱之途上的这些伟大的导师的这个步伐，并且小心翼翼的去遵循这些规范原则的时候，我们就已经得到了所有的这些保护，我们也会免于一切的危险。
For one who is fully engaged in my devotional service, Krishna says.Whose mind is fixed in me and Bhakti Yoga, neither the path of speculative knowledge nor of dry renunciation is very beneficial.
那接下来这句就是说，对那一些全身心的从事于对我的奉爱服务，内心在 Bhakti Yoga 中专注于我的人而言，无论是这个思辨的。心智思辨的这个程序还是枯燥的气绝都没有任何的对他而言都没有任何的裨益。
Because sometimes Prabhupada explained that sometimes devotees believe that you have to make huge austerities, you have to read so many books, you have to do so much meditation to be purified. This is not the fact.
那有些人呢就是认为一个奉献者他必须得要做很多的苦行，要很深的这个冥想，看很多很多的书，你才能够得到完全的净化。不是这样的，对一个奉献者这些都不重要。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the example of the story of Mugrari the hunter who was saved by Narada Muni.
接下来 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 又举了另外一个奉献者的例子，他的名字就是 Mugrari, 那他就是被这个 Narada Muni 所拯救的这样一个猎人。
Because it was a big thing for the hunter to stop killing animals.
所以说呢，因为对于一个猎人来说，要让他停止猎杀动物，这是一件非常重大的一件事情，非常难以做到。
Like sometimes we manage to overcome very bad habits and we think it's a huge achievement.
就比如说有的时候呢，我们想方设法的克服了自己非常大的一些问题，那么这个时候一旦你成功的话，你会觉得好像是一件非常有成就的，非常有成就感的事情。
And we think, wow, I have reached such a high level. Because I have given this up and I have given this up.
因为你这个打破了自己的这些习性，或者是克服了自己这些坏习惯的时候呢，你就会觉得自己好像是挺了不起的，我可以放弃这个，我可以放弃那个。
But remember that first of all, when we begin to practice Krishna consciousness, we need to be brought up to the level of the human platform.
但是我们也千万不要忘记了，当我们开始了 Krishna 知觉的修习的时候，我们要知道这个起点是你至少应当要达到人的这个层面，换句话说就是要把人做好。
Because before that, we may not remember well, or we may not be aware of it, but we used to be engaged in activities that even animals would not do.
其实我们可能自己是不觉知，但实际上在修习Krishna知觉之前，我们做了很多连动物都不会做的事。
So this is why at the time of initiation and even before initiation, devotees do not gamble, do not eat meat, do not have sex life outside of marriage, and do not take intoxication.
这就是为什么呢？奉献者在启迪之前一段时间，至少是在就是在启迪的时候，已经放弃了像下面的这些罪恶的活动。比如说像吃这个吃肉肉鱼蛋，还有就是服用这个麻醉品啊，赌博啊，还有这种非法的性生活。
So these are not spiritual principles. These are only to establish somebody on the human platform.
那刚才说的这些规范原则，其实还谈不上是灵性的一些原则。这些原则只是说帮助你至少是达到了人生而为人的这样的一个层面。
So Narada Muni was explaining to Mugrari the hunter that to give up non-violence is not a huge achievement in itself.
所以呢，在这里呢 ，Narada
Muni. But to give up violence, to give up violence.
就是 Narada Muni 呢，他现在就是在对这个猎人，就是叫 Mugrari， 就说呢，实际上呢，作为一个人放弃这个暴力呢，根本就谈不上是什么成就。
Because anyone who is engaged in the process of bhakti or Krishna consciousness naturally will be non-violent.
就是一个人，他只要是行在这个奉爱瑜伽、这个奉献服务的这个道路上的话，自然而然就不会施加暴力。
So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now tells Sanatan Goswami, "I have now in detail described devotional service according to regulative principles." Now hear from me about spontaneous devotional service and its characteristics.
现在呢，启丹尼马哈佛布就对萨南坦戈萨米说了，他说：“亲爱的萨南坦戈萨米，我现在呢，已经细细的讲述了，就是规范原则下的奉爱服务。现在呢，请听我谈论，请听我讲，就是。”自然而发的奉爱服务及其特征。
So up until now we've discussed the structure, the mechanics, the rules.
因为在这之前，到目前为止，我们讲的还是整个奉爱服务的这个规则呀、程序啊，那些规矩，那些结构性的东西。
What we should do, what we should not do to make spiritual progress.
就是讲到了我们在这个灵性上要有所进步的话，哪些应该去做，哪些不应该做。
But this is not the objective.
但是这些戒律其实并不是我们最终的目标。
The objective is spontaneous love.
最终的这个目标是一种自然而然的爱。
And all the different rules and regulations and the different mechanism of bhakti yoga is meant to bring us to that stage of spontaneous love.
那前面所说到的这些规范、这些原则、规矩、这种机制等等啊，这样的一些程序，其实都是为了帮助我们，把我们一步一步往前推、往上推，一直达到这个。我们的这种目标，也就是自然而发的奉爱服务。
So this is a completely different world of bhakti.
所以呢，从这个自然而发这一个 开始就已经是 Bhakti 分爱的一个全然不同的世界了。
So there's only 10 verses to finish this chapter.
那这一章呢还剩下十个世界。
And then the next chapter will only be about pure devotional service.
那么这十个世界结束之后就开始了下面的一章的讲述。那下面的这一章也就是玛加利亚中篇逍遥的第23章呢就讲的全都是纯粹的奉爱服务。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.OK, Hare Krishna, Smuti Radhamanaji, 现在有问题发上来吗 ?OK, 我们再等一下等一下。Does the regulated practice automatically bring to the spontaneous devotional service?
Not automatically.
我刚才问了一个小问题，趁等大家的时候，我想问的就是说，这样的一些规范原则上的这种休息，是否自然而然，或者说自动的就可以把一个人带到自发的这个奉献服务中呢？帕布的回答是不见得。
For the reason that we have to be completely clear of all offenses.
就是说因为我们得要非常的清楚到底哪一些是冒犯。
Offenses is different than mistakes.
这个冒犯和错误这是两个不同的概念。
Mistakes is the defective mind and the defective body. Offenses is coming from the heart.
这个错误其实就是你的身体、躯体以及你的心意上面的一些瑕疵、一些缺陷、错误。但是呢，冒犯却是来自于你内心的。OK， 好，这个问题来自于 Sumuki Radha Mataji， 感恩 Pabu 和 Mataji 清晨来自马耶夫圣地的甘露，请问我们该怎样同时遵循这么多的原则，有什么诀窍吗？初习者一时间很难理解和完全适应这些内容，更难一次做到这么多，初习者听了会感觉压力很大。 Thank you very much for the nectar coming from the morning in my airport, the Holy Dam. How can we follow all these different rules and regulations? Is there any secret? For a beginner, it might be very difficult to understand and even more for getting used to all these complicated content. It's more, even more difficult to perform all these regulated principles. So for a new fight, when they hear about that, they probably feel big pressure.
Yes, it's a fact, but it's not completely true.
你说的这个是一个事实，但是也不完全是真的。
In other words, if you made a list of all these rules and you write them on a piece of paper,And you give that to someone on the first day. What will happen when they read this?
就是你比如说你把这些规范原则都把它写在一张纸上，然后有一个人是第一次来见到奉献者，从来没有接触过，什么都不知道，然后你把这张纸给他看，你觉得他会有什么反应，怎么想？
They will feel very challenged.
他们一定会觉得有一些挑战。
They'll think there's no way I can do all this.
他们就在想，那我根本不可能做到所有的这些。
But new people naturally move into the system of these rules and regulations just by being with the devotees.
但是其实对于新人来说，他只是通过和奉献者们在一起，其实不知不觉呢，他耳濡目染就已经进到了这些规范原则当中。
And as one is progressing even a little bit, then they will develop enthusiasm to follow gradually all of these rules.
那即便是他在某几个原则上面有这么一点点的进步，他也会立刻就获得一些热情，那种强大的信心，然后呢，逐步的一步一步往前走，他就可以把所有的这些规范原则都做到了。
I have never heard, never in my entire devotional life of anyone who left Krishna consciousness because of these rules.
就是我这辈子这么长时间修习 Krishna 知觉，在这么多年当中，我还从来没有听到过哪一个人是因为这些规范原则离开的，仅仅因为规范原则离开。
So it's not really an obstacle. Actually, people welcome this.
It's like protection defense. 就是其实这些规范原则就好像是保护花园的一个篱笆一样的。其实你它是给一个人以这种保护的。
You never hear, I never hear devotee says, what? Ekadashi again? We have to fast? Why do we have to do all this all the time?
Maybe in the heart.
Maybe in the heart.
我还从来没有听到有个奉献者说出口，哎呀，怎么又是Ekadashi了，又要去戒食了，干嘛我们成天的戒食，这么复杂的这些规范原则，但有可能心里想想，但是他是不会说出口的。
Do I have to water Tulsi? What for?
我干嘛老要给 Tulsi 浇水啊？这有什么意义？
You don't hear devotees questioning this.
你没有听到奉献者在质疑这些问题。
And the reason is that all these rules and regulations are actually part of a culture.
其实呢，这个理由是因为就是这些规范原则其实是我们的这个文化的一部分。
And not only that, but Chinese people are very superstitious by nature.
而且这个中国人大多数来说的话，天性就有点迷信。
So if they miss one rule, they're going to feel really guilty about it.
然后呢，就是觉得就是他们只要一个原则没有做到的话，就觉得心里面好像，哎呀，压力特别大，特别的内疚。
Not only that, but quite often Chinese devotees even invent new rules. Out of fear.
而且很多时候，有的时候就是出于这个恐惧啊、担心啊，中国奉献者还会创造出一些从来没有听过的这种原则去遵循。
Okay.
So Mukhi Radha, 我们先从念诵圣名和聆听Guru讲课和奉献者联谊，是不是也可以呢？慢慢的再多做一些行吗？先从五项中的一两项开始。Okay, can we begin with chanting the holy name, listening to the Guru's class and associate with the devotee, and gradually, step by step, we can do more other regulative principles. Can we just pick up one or two from these five?
Of course, just chant.
当然可以了，你就从这个念诵圣名开始啊。
Just chant Hare Krishna.
去唱诵念诵圣名就好。
Because don't forget, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is what brings you to Krishna consciousness. The Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is what keeps you in Krishna consciousness, and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is what brings you back to Krishna.
因为这个 Hare Krishna 曼陀罗是把你带进到 Krishna 知觉中，并且在 Krishna 知觉中维系你，让你坚持下来的，并且是最终还是帮助你到达这个 Krishna 的这样的一个途径。所以说，它不仅仅是这个起点，它是过程，它也是目标，就是纯粹的念诵也是我们的目标。Okay.
That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. Even slightly, if you just chant or if you just read, it's not like you are completely aware and conscious of the perfection of chanting and hearing, but you are now connected, and it's just a matter of growing into it.
这就是为什么 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他其实要求并没有很高，他只是说稍微这些规范原则，这些像那么多像奉献福，只要做，哪怕做到些许，做到一点点，都可以帮助你达到完美。也就是说呢，你去念诵，你去读这些经典，你不需要说你读念诵或者读的时候已经完全的感觉到了它的这个完美之处，达到完美的境界了，而是说你先开始做，你进来，然后在你做的这个过程当中逐步得到这个成长，最后达到完美，是这样一个过程。
Don't forget a very important information.
还有一个非常重要的一个地方不要忘记了。
No one comes to Krishna consciousness and begin the process of bhakti unless they've already done it in the past.
就是除非一个人在这个之前或者在前世他已经做了一些这个做到了一些，否则的话他这一生不会说就是无缘无故的开始 Krishna 之觉得休息进入到这个奉爱服务的程序里面。
So we are just continuing the process that we started before, and we just need to be more awake about it.
就是其实这个奉爱服务我们前世就已经做了，但是呢没有做完，所以我们这一生只不过就是延续了之前的这个服务，然后只不过当我们做的时候，我们要更加的觉醒就好了。
Okay.
下一个问题来自于什么 Kira 的 Mataji， 的确感受到遵守这些原则的好处真的是非常有力量，生活完全的改变，远离了罪恶，变得纯净，受到极大的保护。 So it's a comment. He said, yes, I really feel the benefit from following all the principles, which is very powerful. My life has totally changed. I'm away from the sins and my lifeAnd myself has become purified. I have got a lot of protection from all these regulative principles.
This is Sumukhi Radha Mataji saying this?
Yes, after listening to your
However, even better than that,
但是呢，比你这儿说的更好的是
is to give Krishna to others.
就是把 Krishna 带给别人。
Then you really hit the mark.
那你就是击中了目标了。
Then you really touch Krishna's heart.
那你真的是触动到了 Krishna 的心。
Because that's how Krishna ends the Bhagavad Gita teaching to Arjuna.
因为那个 Krishna 他就是在这个《薄伽梵歌》教导 Arjuna 的时候就是这样子结束的。
There has never been anyone more dear. Will there ever be anyone more dear to me than one?Who explained these teachings to others?
Because he 亲自对 Arjuna 他说了，没有一个把这个知识教导给别人的人对我更加的亲切了。
So this is not. We should not think. Now I am fully protected. This is my way of life. I'm happy the way I am. We have to think about others.
所以呢，我们千万不要就这么沾沾自喜了。现在我进化了，我也非常完美了。我对我的生活非常满意，别人怎么样，我就不怎么在意了，我们的心里要想到别人，要去帮助别人。Okay, 下一个问题来自 Dropati， 感恩他父的讲课，怎么理解像先前的 Charya 祈祷或者庇护，只是追随他们的步伐和沿袭他们的灵性方面的卓越贡献吗？我想我只能理解一点点，主通过他不可思议的能量。来照顾我们，但无法理解圣帕帕和六个 Swami 如何给予我们他们亲身的仁慈庇护。他们不也是个体灵魂吗？是不是我们在祈祷他们的仁慈的时候，就直接与他们有了真正的灵性相链接了？这个问题虽然有些奇怪，但我想理解灵性和人格性会对我有帮助。Thank you, Prabhu. My question is how to understand.What it means by praying to the previous acharya so that we can get protection simply by following their footsteps and study their exemplary achievements in spirituality. I think I can only understand a little bit. Maybe through the Lord, through his inconceivable energy, he...potency, he comes to protect us, but I can understand about that, about Lord's protection to us, but I still can't understand how Srila Prabhupada and the six Goswamis, how do they give us personal mercy for protection? They are still individual souls, the jivas. Does that mean that when we pray to them, pray for their mercy, we are actually directly connected to them or connected to their real spirituality. We linked to their spirituality. So this question seems to be strange, but I think a deeper understanding of spirituality and personalism will help.
Okay, I explained today in the class about the identity of Sanatana Goswami.
那我在今天的这个课里面呢，就是讲到了这个 Sanatana Goswami 的身份。
And we know from scriptures that Krishna is in the heart of all living entities.
我们从这个经典里面呢，就读到 Krishna 是在所有生物体的心中。
So Krishna is the guru in the heart.
所以呢 ，Krishna 他就是每一个生物体心中的 guru 灵性导师。
And when Krishna in the heart sees the sincerity of the conditioned souls to take up the process of bhakti, then Krishna will direct that person to a spiritual master.
那在心中的这个 Krishna， 他一旦看到了这个生物体，他有一种真诚的想要进入到 bhakti 分爱之中的这种愿望的时候，他就会指引他，把他指引到一个灵性导师的面前。
Now that spiritual master is a representative of many spiritual masters.
那那个灵性导师呢，他又是很多很多其他灵性导师的代表，众多的灵性导师的代表。
As a matter of fact, the spiritual master doesn't say anything new. All he does is repeat what he has heard.
其实灵性导师呢，他也不会说一些新的东西，他只是去把他聆听到的那些知识去如其所如的去传达给你。
So the beauty of our particular disciplined succession. What is so particular about it?
那我们的这个使徒传系究竟它独到在什么地方呢？
There's something very, very specific about our line of Bhakti Yoga.
我们的这个 Bhakti 分爱的这个传承有一些非常独特的地方。
Every single one of the previous teachers of Bhakti are eternal associates of Radha and Krishna.
就是在我们传承当中先贤的这些 Acharya 们，他们中的每一个人都是 Radha 和 Krishna 永恒的同游。
They come from the spiritual world.
他们就是从灵性世界来的。
They are the embodiment of pure devotion to Krishna.
他们就是对 Krishna 的纯粹奉爱的化身。
Not only that, but they are direct expansion of Krishna's spiritual energy.
他们还是 Krishna 的，就是灵性能量直接的扩展。
So they come to this world, they take birth in some family somewhere.
所以他们就从灵性世界来到这个地球上面，然后呢，他们看似是诞生在某一个地方，在某一个家庭之中。
And at some point in their lives, whether it's when they are babies or teenagers or adults, pure bhakti just boom explodes from their hearts.
那在他们这人生的某一个阶段，不管是他们是婴儿的时候、幼年的时候、少年的时候，还是成年的时候，在某一阶、某一个时刻，他们内心中的这种奉爱之情呢，就喷涌而出了。
Like the son of a devotee was a baby, and what would he do? He would suck the toe of Lord Chaitanya.
就像是一个奉献者的一个孩子，那他还是在蹒跚学，就是在那地上爬的时候，就是这么一个宝宝，他就会去吸 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的脚趾。
Some other great acharyas, they came in contact with Krishna consciousness when they were like 8 years old.
还有一些非常伟大的 acharya 们，他们在八岁的时候就见到了 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
And yeah, there are many stories of the previous teachers, but the point is each of them belong to the spiritual world.
就是关于这些我们传承中的这些先前的这些导师，有很多很多他们的教师王他们的故事。但这里的这个要点呢，就是说他们都是直接的来自于灵性世界的，不是普通的凡夫俗子。
So everything they do and everything they say is on the highest platform of bhakti.
所以呢，他们的这个一举一动，他们的言语都是传递的是这个纯粹的奉爱。
And what they do is practically they take our hand and they say, "Come with me."
所以他们是怎么样对待我们的呢？其实他们就是用手拉牵着我们的手，然后亲自的来牵我们的手，然后对我们说跟我走。
So, where do they take us?
他们会把我们带到哪里去呢?
First, they take us through the process of purification.
首先,
Come with me, I need to give you a bath.
首先牵着我们的手说跟我走, 那去干什么呢? 先洗个澡再说, 也就是说, 我们得先净化, 他把我们带到一个净化的程序里面。
And then after you've taken the bath, I'm going to teach you how to swim.
那洗完澡之后呢, 他就跟我们说了, 现在要教你们游泳了。
And you will be able to swim and drink at the same time.
然后你会一边游泳一边喝水。
So you may not be aware of it, but for example, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami wrote books all about rules and regulations.
你们可能还没有意识到, 其实像 Rupa Goswami 和 Sanatan Goswami, 他们写的书里面是 都是围绕着这些规范原则展开的。
But they have also written books on the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. When you read these poetries, your heart will completely melt.
但是他们同时也写到了 Radha Krishna 和 Vrindavan 的居民的那些非常亲密甜美的逍遥时光。 那当你去阅读那些诗篇的时候，你的心就会不由自主的融化。
That is the reason why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted them to be in Vrindavan, because no one else but them know Vrindavan inside out.
这就是Chaitanya Mahaprabhu只是拣选了这些Goswami们在Vrindavan待着，因为没有人有这样的一个资格。 No one but them can present Vrindavan.
No Vrindavan inside out.
就是除了他们之外，没有其他的人能像他们那样那么透彻的知悉Vrindavan。
So we depend upon them to enter the holy place. We depend upon them to enter the spiritual world.
所以说呢，我们是完全的仰赖于他们才能够进入到圣地。
This is the gift of Krishna within the heart.
这是, 我们的心中的 Krishna 所给予我们的礼物。
So we cannot do without them.
如果是没有他们的话, 那我们根本就是寸步难行的。 You mentioned Srila Prabhupada and the six Goswami.
Same.
Srila Prabhupada 也一样, Srila Prabhupada 和六 Goswami.
If you could hear some of Prabhupada's lectures or Prabhupada's morning walks or Prabhupada's room conversation, Prabhupada was so confident, he says, come on, come with me.
你会，假如说你去听一下Srila Prabhupada的一些讲课，然后的他的这个清晨漫步的时候，跟门徒之间的这种对话，或者是在室内的跟别人在一起的 一些谈话的话，你会发现呢，Srila Prabhupada总是这样子的满怀信心的，他经常这样说：“跟我走，来吧。”
I was reading this morning, just before the class, Prabhupada was writing to one of his disciples.
那么就在今天讲课之前呢，我在看这个Srila Prabhupada给他的一个门徒的书信。
And the disciple was lamenting that he is overcome by material desires.
然后呢，就是在这封信当中，这个门徒就是表达了一种就是痛苦，就是他觉得他自己总是被这种物质的能量所困扰。
And Prabhupada says, if you can just follow me, I will kick out every single one of those material desires and bring you back to Krishna.
就是被物质的欲望所困扰。然后Srila Prabhupada他的回信他就是说，你只要跟着我走，我就把你的这些物质的欲望全部都踢飞，踢得无影无踪。我会把你带到灵性世界。
We are extremely fortunate.
我们是极其极其的幸运的。 OK，下一个问题， okay, Radha Priya David Dasi， 感谢帕布的精彩讲课，感谢翻译和主持的甜美服务。今天的内容让我感受到了希望。我们目前都处于规范休息中，如何达到自发的对 Krishna 的爱，是通过规范休息的积累吗？还是通过强烈的愿望，还是仁慈？ Thank you, Prabhu, for your wonderful class. Thank the all the thanks to the translator and the MC for your sweet service. I have seen the hope from today's lecture. Right now, we are all in the regulated principles practice, the practice of regulated principles. So how can we attain the spontaneous love to Krishna? Is it through the accumulation of all the regulations and practices, or through our strong desire plus mercy?
It's a combination of all these things.
应该是这些规范修行的积累, 强烈的愿望, 还有, 仁慈的这个总和。
But I'll be very honest with you.
但是我可以跟你实话实说,
there is only one thing that will work to get to the spontaneous platform.
其实只有一点是我们要非常努力地去做才能够达到这个自发的对Krishna的爱的。
Offenseless chanting.
就是没有冒犯的念诵.
If we don't commit offenses to the holy name of Krishna, we have every chance to enter the level of pure bhakti.
只要是我们不对这个念诵还有冒犯之心的话, 我们就有完全的这种希望和可能可以达到这个纯粹的方法.
This is the only work we have to do.
这个是我们唯一要锁定我们的这个焦点和努力的地方。
This is the most powerful meditation.
这是一种非常有力量的冥想。
To make an effort to have attentive chanting.
就是要非常努力地去做到一心一意的念诵。
Gopal Krishna Goswami just came out of the hospital after being diagnosed with COVID-19.
就是Gopal Krishna Swami, 他被诊断有这个新冠病毒的感染，那么他现在刚从医院出来。He
was between life and death.
他经历了这个生死考验的。He
came out of the hospital, he went back to the temple in Delhi.
他从医院里出来，然后直接就去了德里的庙宇。And
his first words were, please be attentive when you chant your japa.
他说的第一句话是什么呢? 请你们全神贯注于你们的japa.
Don't pray for me, don't glorify me, pay attention to your chanting.
他说不要这个为我祈祷了，然后也不要为我的这个康复去祈祷，请你们好好的去专注的念诵圣名。
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give pure love of Radha and Krishna by giving the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, 他是通过给予我们 Hare Krishna Mantra 来赐予我们对 Radha 和 Krishna 的纯粹的爱。
And this is the key, by chanting purely, love for Krishna will manifest in the heart.
那通过这种纯粹的念诵主的圣名, 对主的这个爱就会在你的心中显现。 感谢帕布的精彩讲课，感谢翻译和主持的甜美服。Krishna说：“心很少想着我成为我的奉献者，顶拜我，崇拜我，全然专注于我，你必归于我。这一切是不是最重要的是从心意专注开始呢？走向奉献服，就是心意专注的方法和全部的实践呢？” Thank you very much for your wonderful class, Krishna. Said that fix your mind on me, become my devotees, worship me, bow down to me, be focused on me completely, you will come to me. Does that mean that actually everything begins from this focus of the mind? And the 9 devotional services are actually a process and also a complete practice of the focus of the mind. Is that true or not?
Everything springs from the mind.
其实所有的一切都是从这个心意扩展出来的。
Actually, all the great philosophers, all the great knowledgeable persons, all the great teachers of this world have all said the same thing. This entire material world evolves around the mind.
其实那些哲学家、那些饱学之士、那些导师，他们都得出了同样的结论，就是说，这个物质世界其实都是围绕着心意的，围绕着人的意念。
So if we control the mind, we have access to anything we want.
所以说，如果说我们控制了这个心意的话呢，我们就可以如愿以偿。
And the most successful people, materially speaking, are people who control their minds.
那就是，即便是从物质的角度而言，那些在物质上获得巨大成就的人，他们首先也是因为他们很好的控制了，就是意念、心意。
So,We control our mind by engaging everything in Krishna's service.
那我们怎么样去控制我们的心意呢？是把我们的这个一切都拿来为 Krishna 做奉献服务。
This is not brainwashing.
这个不是洗脑。
This is cleansing of the mind so we can cleanse the heart.
这个是实际上是从我们的净化心意开始的，这样我们才能够净化我们的内心。
You see, the objective is to have a clean heart.
因为我们的这个目标是要获得非常纯净的心。
And you can't have a clean heart unless you have a clean mind.
那你的心意呢？除非是在你的，就除非你的心意已经完全净化了，否则你是不可能得到一颗纯净的心的。
And you can't have a clean mind unless you have clean senses.
那么你除非是把这个感官给净化了。否则你的心意里面肯定有很多污染，是不可能干净的。
And clean senses means goodness.
那么什么叫做洁净的感官呢？这个是意味着就是你要首先达到善良心态。
So the process of bhakti yoga works only when the senses, the mind, and the body are engaged in Krishna's service.
所以说呢，就是只有当我们把我们的躯体、心意和感官都用于对 Krishna 的奉献服务的时候，这个 bhakti 奉爱才真正的开始。Okay, Smoothie Radha, 感恩帕布的提醒，不要只是独享，要把 Krishna 拒绝与更多人分享。Thank you for your reminders. We shouldn't just enjoy our soul trip.Perfect Krishna consciousness life, we should share with more other people of Krishna consciousness. Jai Krishna, 两谢鬼，顶拜帕布的莲花组，您现在生活在 Map 安全吗？一切都好吗？Please accept my humble obeisances at your lotus feet. Are you safe in Map? Is everything okay there?
Who is asking you?
Jai Krishna, 梁谢奎。
Jai Krishna, thank you very much for asking.
非常感谢你的问候。
Right now we are sitting in front of a big large window open onto the beautiful temple in Mayapur.
我们现在的面前呢，就是两扇非常大的这个窗子，然后这个窗子开着，就通向的是不远处的。这个庙宇可以看到庙宇的全景。
There is a very nice, gentle, cool breeze coming through the home.
然后清风送爽。
And the birds are chirping.
然后鸟儿在那儿鸣叫。
And people are in their home chanting their japa.
然后大家都在家里面念诵圣名。
And yesterday the temple reopened to all the devotees.
昨天呢，这个庙又重启了，就是欢迎所有奉献者。到庙里面来
but not to the public.
但是还没有向公众开放。
Otherwise, life is going on as usual in Mayapur.
就是除此之外呢，这个 Mayapur 的这个生活一切照常。
And we are waiting to return to our home in China.
我们一直在等待着回中国的那一天。
So by your prayers, this will happen.
所以如果您帮助我们祈祷的话，我相信我们一定能够尽快的回中国。Okay, Radha Priya Mataji said, "Thank you very much for your answers. My humble obeisances to all the Vaishnava devotees. Hare Krishna."
Okay.
Wait.
No, no, that's all.
Looking forward to your early return.
Yes.
Okay.
So thank you very much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
非常感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji 的主持。
Thank you. What's this?
The last question.
What's this?
Dasi, 顶拜孤乳圣恩帕布帕说 ，Krishna 是永恒的丈夫。有时候我们也听说过有奉献者会自然的把 Krishna 当成自己的灵性丈夫。请问这种对 Krishna 的情侣的心态是自发的奉爱吗？有这种心态的奉献者休息中。 应该注意什么呢？ Please accept my humble obeisances. Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna is our eternal husband. Sometimes we also heard some devotees naturally regard Krishna as his spiritual husband. But this kind of mood as lovers, is it a spontaneous bhakti? For a devotee who has this kind of mood, what kind of the things he should pay attention to in his spiritual practice?
I think it's quite dangerous.
我觉得这个很危险。
These are aspects of Krishna that devotees are not supposed to talk about.
我觉得就是关于这种情侣之爱的爱侣的这个情感，是我们奉献者，就是关于 Krishna 的那一部分，是我们奉献者不能轻易去讨论的。
Well, Srila Prabhupada did mention something like this to some disciples.
的确是 Srila Prabhupada 曾经对他门徒说过 Krishna 是你永恒的丈夫这样的话。
For example, one time Srila Prabhupada arranged for one Mataji to be married.
比如说呢，有一次呢 ，Srila Prabhupada 给一个 Mataji 安排了一个婚姻。
So she was happy about that.
她非常的高兴。
And then the next time Prabhupada saw her, he said, "Where is your husband?"
然后第二次 Srila Prabhupada 见到她的时候呢，就问她说，你的丈夫到哪里去了？
So she said, "We separated."
然后呢，她就说我们分开了。
And then Prabhupada didn't say anything, but he was very disappointed.
那 Prabhupada 什么都没有说，不过呢，非常的失望。
So then she says, "Can I marry again?"
然后呢，就是这个女门徒就问了，说那我可以再婚吗？
Prabhupada said, "Yes, you can get married to Krishna."
然后 Prabhupada 就说，是啊，你可以嫁给 Krishna.
Just consider Krishna your husband.
你把 Krishna 当做你的丈夫。
What did Prabhupada mean by that?
但是 Prabhupada 说这句话到底是什么深意呢？
It means don't get married again.
他对他说呢，你不用再结婚了。
And just give your life to Krishna.
把你的生命都交给 Krishna.
So because a woman is inclined to be married to somebody, they may as well marry Krishna because then they will get Krishna consciousness.
因为一个女人她自然而然的这个倾向，就是说能够嫁给某一个人，所以呢，释迦牟尼佛他说呢，那你不如把自己嫁给 Krishna， 意思就是说。把自己献身于为 Krishna 的奉献服务。
But in the reality, to marry Krishna, you'd have to be on the highest platform of Krishna consciousness.
但是你如果真的是想要嫁给 Krishna， 把 Krishna 当成你的永恒的丈夫的话，那你必须要在这个灵性上面已经达到最高的一个境界才行。
So when you become a pure devotee, then you can accept Krishna as your husband.
你如果真的是能成为一个纯粹的奉献者的话，那你完全可以把 Krishna 当做你永恒的丈夫。
For now, just be a humble servant.
现在呢，就必须先做一个非常谦卑的一个仆人。
Hare Krishna.
所以这个就回答你说，这样心态的奉献者，休息中应该注意什么？就是要注意，要始终把自己当成一个谦卑的仆人去服务 Krishna。Jaya Krishna, 梁谢贵 It's a response to your answer. He said, "I will follow your instructions. I will pray, but I feel that my prayer has no power at all."
That's not up to you.
你的祈祷到底有没有力量？这个不由你说了算。
Krishna has the ability to screen our motivation, and he takes the best out of our motivation.
Krishna 他就有这样的一种能力，他可以把我们的动机都过滤一下，然后他可以萃取出我们最好的这个意愿。Krishna will respond.
Yeah, of course he does.
Krishna 肯定会回报你的，会回应你的，你的这个祈祷。但是有没有力量，这个不由你说了算，你自己可能根本就感觉不到啊。王文燕 ，Akasha Devi Dasi， 顶拜 Guru， 顶拜 Mataji， 有时候会把 Krishna 当成孩子去看待，这样是冒犯吗 ？Sometimes we will regard Krishna as our own children, our own child. Is that offensive?
It's over familiarity.
这个就是过度亲近了，就有点随便了。
The intention is good because at least you don't think about Maya.
你的这个意愿是不错的，这个是动机是很好的，因为至少你没有想的就是 Maya。
But don't think you are qualified to consider Krishna as your own child.
但是不要以为你现在已经有足够的资格把 Krishna 当成自己的孩子了。We are not
sure. So if you can serve Krishna without any distraction, as if he was your own child, then you can go ahead and do that.But if you give attention to Krishna for 5 minutes and the next 6 hours is all about your mind, then Krishna is not your child, he's only an object of your own sense gratification.
那如果说你能够一心一意的心无旁骛的就是真的这样全身心的去为 Krishna, 去照顾 Krishna, 去服务 Krishna, 那么你可以把它当成这个孩子。但是如果说你只是五分钟之内，哎呀，感觉自己 Krishna 是我的孩子，我服务的很热情，很高兴，很细致。但是接下来六个小时的话呢，那你只不过就是完全是生活在自己的心意里面，心猿意马，想东想西。那你这个就不是说真的是把 Krishna 当成自己的孩子去服务了 ，Krishna 成了你的感官享乐的对象了，所以这个就不对了。
You want Krishna to be your child, make sure he is your child 24 hours a day non-stop.
如果说你真的要把 Krishna 当成你自己的孩子的话，那你就得24小时不间断的去把 Krishna 当成孩子来这么照顾，去服务。
So, thank you very much, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi 的翻译。
Thank you to all the devotees for your wonderful questions.
感谢奉献者们的提出的好问题。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai, Srila Sanatan Goswami ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Kashadesh Yatra ki jai, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
Okay, 百坤大知音服务员一聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，今天的永恒的Chaitanya经的讲课就到这里结束。我们现在讲到的是 Madhya Lila 的第22章，就是最后还剩下10个时节，要在下一周来继续的来讲解。那我们今天的课程就到这里结束，下周同一时间星期三再见 ，Hare Krishna。